This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, June 1st. I'm Audrey McCabe. The Delta County School Board has appointed a new member following the resignation of Tony Bowling in April. The board selected Francesca Esplin as the new member representing District 2. Esplin wrote in her candidate letter that she is the parent of a freshman at Delta High School and a fifth grader at Garnet Mesa Elementary, and that she believes strong schools are built through collaboration, communication, and a shared vision for success. In a social media post, Esplin said that she is very grateful for the opportunity to serve on the school board and to work on behalf of the students, staff, and community members. In other Delta School Board news, the board voted not to renew its contract with a kids clinic, a nonprofit providing medical services for children and families in Delta County on a sliding scale. Established in 2014 as a 501c3, it has offered local students affordable sports physicals, dental hygiene services, mental health support, and other care. Several residents expressed concern regarding the decision during public comment, emphasizing the services the clinic has provided over the last 12 years. KVNF will have more on this story later this week. In news out of local government in Paonia, Town Administrator Stephen Wynn informed trustees on May 8th that he would not renew his contract. He will have served 3 years by the time his term ends on July 11th. According to the High Country Spotlight, Wynn received high ratings from the previous town board for his work on the budget and for lining up millions of dollars in grants and low-interest loans for long-delayed infrastructure projects. However, he recently came under fire for serving dual roles as treasurer and administrator, and for approving a Verkata security camera system, among other critiques. The newly constituted board is canceling the surveillance contract, resulting in a $53,000 loss to the town. Alongside the Colorado Department of Local Affairs and the Colorado City and County Management Association, the town is now searching for an interim administrator. A request for quotes will also be released soon to find a firm that will help with the search for a new permanent administrator. House District 54 Representative Matt Soper of Delta has wrapped up his final term in the Colorado legislature with the unanimous passage of his last bill, a measure aimed at helping rural hospitals stay financially afloat. The Montrose Daily Press reports that the new law, House Bill 1432, replaces Colorado's Hospital Transformation Program, or HTP, with a different quality incentive system known as HQIP. Soper, who serves as chairman of the Delta Health Board, says the previous program burdened rural hospitals with costly reporting requirements tied to Medicaid funding. According to Soper, many hospitals spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and in some cases more than a million, trying to meet complex data and performance benchmarks. Healthcare leaders say rural facilities often struggled because they were held to standards similar to larger urban hospital systems, despite having fewer staff and resources. Delta Health officials say as much as 30% of the hospital's supplemental Medicaid funding depended on HTP performance. State health officials have defended the program, citing gains in opioid alternative prescribing, maternal mental health screenings, pediatric depression screenings, and social needs assessment over its first 3 years. Still, lawmakers, hospital leaders, and the Colorado Department of Healthcare Policy and Financing ultimately agreed to replace the program. Under the new law, oversight shifts to the CHASE Board, a group of public and private healthcare stakeholders tasked with creating more practical and nationally aligned quality measures. Supporters say the change should reduce administrative burdens while continuing to improve patient care. However, rural health advocates warn that looming federal Medicaid cuts remain a much larger financial threat to hospitals across Colorado. May is Melanoma and Skin Cancer Awareness Month, and health professionals are reminding people to protect themselves from harmful UV rays. The Rocky Mountain West has some of the highest melanoma rates in the country. Colorado is one of the 10 states with the highest death rates for melanoma. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Maeve Conran spoke with Dr. Sapna Patel, a medical oncologist with the University of Colorado, to find out more.
Here in the Rocky Mountain West, we're used to having a lot of sunshine, but then that gives us also a lot of UV exposure. Can you talk about what about the Rocky Mountain West is making us more vulnerable to this?
Yeah, there's a few things. One is the weather is so temperate and lovely here. We spend a lot more time outdoors. It's a little counterintuitive, but in states that are really kind of sunny year-round, Arizona, Texas, Florida, actually a lot of the population craves indoor air conditioning. But in Colorado, we actually really enjoy this kind of mild mornings, you know, cool evenings, warm in the middle of the day. So we actually do spend a lot of our time outdoors. So many of our patients, their hobbies are outdoor living, you know, whether it's cycling or hiking, winter sports, et cetera. So we're just spending quantity more hours out in the sun. Secondly, we're at altitude. So we're a mile closer to the sun. So those rays are getting to us faster than they're getting to somebody at sea level. And then thirdly, when we are doing things like winter sports, the ultraviolet and the sun is reflecting off of that white snow back to us. So it's reflecting off of mountain lakes. It's reflecting off of pools, you know, white snow, and then sandy beaches. All of those provide a surface for ultraviolet to reflect back. So now you're not just getting it from the top, from the sun above, you're getting it reflected back. And maybe a key point, people often think, well, it's a cloudy day, it's a little bit overcast, so I'm not going to put on my sunscreen. But what is an overcast day? What are clouds? They're just water vapor. You know, it's just a mass of water vapor. Can ultraviolet penetrate water vapor? It absolutely can. There's nothing about a cloud or cloudy day that offers SPF or any form of sun protection.
Is sunscreen then the best way to protect yourself from this?
It is. It's certainly avoiding, you know, ultraviolet in the most dangerous kind of periods of the day, which are often that kind of middle of the day, peak sun hours, 2 to 4 p.m. during our summer months. But, you know, we don't want people to just avoid being outside. So then what you should do is wear sun protective clothing. So clothing that has UPF built in, SPF built in, minimum of 50. You want to wear wide brimmed hats. Again, though, remember the weave of a hat does not protect you from the sun. You know, rays can still penetrate through a loosely woven hat fabric. So just by having long sleeve clothing, that does not in and of itself guarantee you protection. It needs to be treated with things that actually have SPF in them. One of the easiest ways I find is to use mineral powder sunscreen. It's unreasonable to think all of us women are putting on cream or liquid sunscreen as our base foundation before we put on our makeup, and then every 2 to 3 hours, reapplying liquid sunscreen on top of our makeup. It's unreasonable to think people are skiing or snowboarding in the winter and taking off their gloves to squirt liquid sunscreen on. Spray sunscreen, I do not recommend. Very little spray sunscreen is actually touching your skin. It's sunscreening the air around you, but it's not actually landing on your skin. What you would really want to do is spray very close to your skin until your skin is wet and then rub it in. Well, if you're going to have to do that anyway, you might as well just use a liquid so you know where you're directly applying it, a lotion. But better than all of that are these mineral powders. So I can apply a mineral powder on top of my makeup. It's a sheer, translucent, mineral sunscreen, and it gives me protection. I can put it on every couple of hours on top of my makeup. If I'm on the mountain hiking or skiing, I don't have to worry about taking off gloves, or I have sweaty hands and now everything's sticking to my hand. I can just powder myself with this brush and powder. And they're usually just built as one device where, you know, the mineral sunscreen comes out the end of a brush and you could just fluff your face. I find this is the version that men will use when they're cycling because it fits in a pocket, it fits in their bike sack, and you can just pull it out without having to take off gloves, you know, top up your face, put it back on. There's no color to it, nothing. These are the types of things we are getting sunscreen that's more usable. So we need to use the one that we're actually going to reach for. And let's not forget the tips of our ears, the back of our neck. Let's not forget sunscreen for our lips. So chapsticks that have, you know, lip balms that have SPF in them. That's all really important.
Dr. Sapna Patel is a medical oncologist with the University of Colorado. She was speaking with Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Maeve Conran. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you're not able to catch the newscast live on air, it's available on kvnf.org, the KVNF app, or on Spotify. I'm Audrey McCabe.